Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Healthy, Abundant, and Wise Summit. I'm Sue Erta. I'm your host for this wonderful event, and I am so excited to be able to speak with so many of these incredible authors that we have. They are so open, so loving, so giving of themselves, their insights, their wisdom, and they're doing it for you so that you can actually use it in your own life for your own business, personal, spiritual growth. And so I'm so happy for you, the listeners, that you're here listening to this because it's really a gift for you. So take it in, use it in your life, and let's get started here. I'm really excited today to talk with one of our authors, Carrie Cloyd, and I'm going to read a brief introduction and then we'll start speaking with her. Carrie Cloyd is a psychotherapist with a private practice in San Francisco and Marin County, California. She has been a counselor since 2000 with a regular meditation practice throughout. She initially studied the spiritual teachings of Paramahansa Yogananda and then was drawn to those of the non-dual teacher, Adi Ashanti. In her work with her clients, Carrie draws primarily from her trainings in Yokomi, eye movement desensitization and reprocessing, and the work of Byron Katie. She has served as coordinator for the Non-Dual Wisdom and Psychotherapy Conference since 2009. In her free time, she enjoys hiking, yoga, and dance. And I really am grateful to welcome you today, Carrie. How are you?
I'm well. Thanks, Sue.
Great. I am excited to talk to you today and introduce you to our audience. I would love for you, if you would start with sharing a little bit about your personal journey and how it led you to where you are today.
Sure. So I think, you know, for many of the authors, that this personal piece starts back in childhood. And so as a young one in the world, I was aware that unlike some of the other kids at school, pretty much all the other kids that I knew, at least at my particular school, I didn't have my mother in my life. And so, you know, there was a bit of a sense of standing out and, you know, kind of having an absence that was unusual. And, you know, when I was four, my dad remarried and brought, you know, my stepmother who adopted me into my life. And that's been a great blessing for me and continues to be. And then, you know, some years went by, and when I was 10, I knew that my mother had passed away, but when I was a baby, and I didn't know the particular circumstances of that. So when I was 10, a family member kind of told me or shared with me in a sort of unexpected way that my mother had had postpartum depression after my birth and that she had taken her life by throwing herself in front of a subway train. So, you know, for a 10-year-old, that was rather intense information to be shared. And so, you know, again, moving forward on the timeline in high school, I got into therapy of my own accord because I realized it would be helpful for me and something that I really needed at the time. And so that was a wonderful benefit and really helped me to start to explore some of my questions about the meaning of life and what are we here for and, you know, why do things like this happen to, you know, anyone. And then, you know, after graduating from college, I was trying to get a sense of what direction I might go in terms of a career. So the thought at that point was that, you know, I would like to help other people in the way that I've been helped. And so that was what got me on to the career path of being a psychotherapist. And as I have been moved to share in this chapter in the book, I wanted to talk about, you know, a kind of shift in consciousness that occurred for me after I began meditating, and that has, you know, really brought a kind of blend of psychology and spirituality into my work and my practice.
Wow, that's great. I love that. And, you know, thank you for sharing that about your mom. I think that that is a lot, very intense for a 10-year-old, obviously, to handle hearing something like that about your mom. And it's so interesting, I think, how things do that in our lives. They show up, and then you going to a psychotherapist, and now here you are a psychotherapist because of the help that it brought you. That happens so often that our path is kind of laid out before us, you know, and then, of course, we choose to step onto it. So I think it's amazing that you decided to step onto this path. Now, you know, I know that all of us, we live our lives by certain principles, Carrie. You know, what would you say is the number one principle that's had a dramatic impact on your own life? And how do you think that same principle that you use can help others to achieve the types of results that you have in your life?
So I would say that honesty is the number one principle for me. And, you know, for many of us growing up, we're exposed to various religions, you know, depending on where we live and our culture and all of that sort of thing. And many, many of the major religions, if not all of them, have, you know, suggestion that we tell the truth as opposed to tell lies. And, you know, that plays a certain role and part in many people's upbringing. And what I'm speaking to is kind of beyond that, in a sense, because there's a way that, you know, we can sort of have a belief about, oh, well, this behavior is right or wrong. And the kind of honesty I'm talking about is really, it's not dependent on following a particular set of rules. It's really more working with ourselves in terms of what's right for any particular instance, and really paying attention to our own inner experience and our body, because, you know, our minds have an amazing ability to go in many directions and explore lots of different pathways, and it can get a little tricky sometimes, you know, to kind of get clear on how to move forward. And, you know, our body and our mind are obviously interrelated, and, you know, bringing attention to the body specifically can be very helpful in terms of being honest with ourselves and being clear, you know, if something is out of alignment for ourselves. So that's definitely in terms of my work with clients, that's something that I really, you know, encourage and actively help my clients develop that kind of inner compass for themselves.
So when you're talking about getting honest with yourself and your body, so really you're talking about, I guess, aligning and attuning yourself to what's right for you personally. Is that what you mean?
Yes. Very much so, because when we're out of alignment, our bodies will typically tell us in some way. There will be some sense of dis-ease. You know, it's kind of like the word disease broken down into, you know, a lack of ease in our body, because we can certainly feel harmony, you know, or clarity in a kind of kinesthetic sense. And, you know, that can just be a very helpful sort of litmus test in terms of, okay, you know, maybe I've gotten clear, I want to do this or act in this way. How does that really feel in my body as I sit with it? So that can, yeah, be a very helpful way to get clear and, you know, kind of be really thorough in our assessment and discernment.
That sounds great to me. And I know, for instance, I think this is a good example of that, too. Whenever I make a decision, I usually, like if I'm making what I would call a tough decision, you know, I go back and forth and weigh it and all that in my mind. And then when I make the decision, one way or the other, you know, I get such relief when the decision is made. And I know when, by that relief that I feel, for me, I've made the right one. So, and literally, I feel that ease, and my body just relaxes a little. So that's kind of a litmus test for me if I made the right choice, you know. So I like that. So that's
definitely
great to point.
Yeah.
So, Carrie, you've worked with lots of clients over the years, and with all the clients you've helped, would you say that there is any common obstacle or roadblock that a lot of people seem to be dealing with?
So what I have noticed in terms of the variety and diversity of clients that I've sat with over the years is that a common obstacle or roadblock that all of us deal with to some degree or another is being identified with our thoughts. And, you know, I've heard it suggested that there be, you know, a thinker's anonymous in terms of our addiction to thought in a certain way of looking at it. And I, you know, most of us grow up not even being aware that that's the case. Obviously, there can be much, you know, more dramatic addictions in terms of drug or alcohol addictions, for instance. And so this is a bit more subtle and not something that, you know, always comes to people's attention. And as a therapist, it's definitely something that I, you know, help people with and also engage with personally in terms of a tendency for a lot of energy and focus and attention to be above the neck, as opposed to really including our entire body. So it's not, you know, ignoring what's above the neck, it's just including the rest of our body as well, because we have so, you know, as human beings, we have a whole vast array of dimensions and skills that are not necessarily as predominant in terms of our typical education system and just kind of way of being in the world.
That's amazing. So I like what you said, not that I like it, but you said addiction to thought. I never thought about it that way, but I saw some posts on Facebook the other day, and there were several in a row about being an overthinker. Do you think that that is something that, you know, as a society that we do a lot?
It certainly appears that way, you know, from my perspective, having sort of developed in the way that I have developed, where I'm less and less identified with my own thinking and able to kind of be with it in a more spacious, reflective, open manner, you know, because on a certain level, thoughts are purely energy. So it's, you know, and yeah, yes, of course, from a scientific standpoint, we can have, you know, neurotransmitters and neural networks, and, you know, there's ways of looking at it precisely on that particular dimension. And there's a way that, you know, our consciousness can get kind of glued or stuck to certain thought patterns that arise. And so that's often what I'm working with as a therapist, is helping clients identify what some of those repetitive and limiting patterns are, because certainly we can sometimes have, you know, those patterns, and they're positive, they support us. So those ones don't create that kind of disease we were talking about before. So, you know, leaving those ones alone, or strengthening them if they're just sort of beginning to flower and bloom, and then bringing attention to the ones that bring us down, or, you know, create. So often, you know, what's presenting in my office are things like depression or anxiety, or, you know, if people have experienced trauma, there are certain skillful ways of attending to that.
Absolutely. So now, Carrie, the name of this interview is Awakening to and Resting as the Love That We Are, which sounds so beautiful to me. Can you talk about that and how important it is in helping adults and couples?
Yes. So, you know, the chapter for the book that I wrote is Awakening to Love, and when it came time for this interview, I felt moved to kind of elaborate on that a little bit. So there's initially, for all of us in various forms and at various times, an awakening to what we are. It could also be called a remembrance, because many of us, you know, as infants, we kind of come in with more of a felt sense and openness to our true nature. And then, you know, we start thinking and developing egos, and that can get lost a bit. So, you know, there's the awakening too, which often is an energetic movement kind of up the spine and out, in a sense of, you know, a transcendent kind of movement. And then there's a kind of coming back down and into the body and really fully living our lives as human and spiritual beings. So, you know, that's an understanding that I have in myself. It's not, you know, in terms of my work with clients, I don't have an agenda per se. It's not like, oh, we need to get anywhere in particular. And that is a certain kind of map or understanding that definitely informs what I have to offer. And, you know, of course, that's applied very individually in terms of each person that I work with and what their interests are and what they're wanting to kind of cultivate and grow in themselves.
That's great. I like that because it does have to be customized. And I love what you said about it's not like we're trying to get anywhere, because I think that so often people just say we've got to have a goal. We have to have this end in mind. And yet, you know, I guess is the end for many of your clients to have more peace and ease in their life? Would you say that that's fair to say?
Yes, very much so. Yes. Okay. So it's about, you know, how to cultivate those qualities within oneself and step out of some of these kind of limiting patterns that have, you know, become ingrained, and they can also be let go of, you know, with some conscious intention and work. It's often, you know, I often tell clients about how, you know, it's almost like a groove in a record, and, you know, we're picking up the needle and putting it over into another groove, and we're developing something new in themselves. And that's kind of where we come in. We can, you know, we can recognize when there's something playing, some sort of recording or inner self-talk that isn't really serving us, and we can actively pick up the needle and put it onto another track. Or it's almost like changing the radio station. If you'd like to hear something different, then you can change the station.
Great. Wonderful. Now, Carrie, you've had years of experience providing individuals and couples counseling. Can you tell us something about what that experience has taught you?
Yes. So in terms of the people that I've seen over the years, I think, you know, one of the takeaways for me, or one of the kind of deepening realizations, is that we're all in this together, and, you know, everybody has some sort of struggles or difficulties in their life. You know, the Buddha talked about old age, sickness, and death, and, you know, while not everyone will live to old age per se, we definitely all experience some degree of sickness, and we all, just as we're all born, we're all going to die, inevitably. And so there's something about just kind of recognizing that there is this oneness on some level where we are all united as a human family, essentially, and we can support each other and help each other out, and recognizing that interconnection can be a real resource and kind of guiding force in one's life.
We are all in this together, and I love that, and I say that all the time. Yeah, we're all one, we're all in this together, and none of us is getting out of here alive, you know, so let's make the most of this. Carrie, this has been great, and I know our listeners would really like to be able to contact you after the interview, so can you tell us how we can do that?
Certainly. So my website is www.careycloyd.com. And again, that is www.careycloyd.com. And, you know, you can email or pick up the phone and call, whatever is easy.
Awesome. Well, this has been great. Carrie, this has been eye-opening. I love your topic, awakening to and resting as the love that we are, because, you know, love is what it's all about. And I am so happy that you shared that with us. So happy that you're out there working with couples and people in their lives, because it's so important that we get in touch with ourselves and work from that space. And thank you so much for doing that. Thanks for sharing your story with us and your expertise and wisdom with us today. I really appreciate you.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
And listeners, again, thank you for being here. I'm so happy that you tune into this summit, because I know you're here because you want some sort of growth in your life, and that's what you're getting from listening to these interviews. I invite you to take this information that you learn, bring it into your lives, use it, and as we all start using this information, being more calm and peaceful and loving in our own lives, it's good for the whole world. So thank you for doing everything that you do. Be sure to buy this book, Healthy, Abundant, and Wise, on May 25th. When you go to our website on that day, you'll be directed to buy the book on Amazon, and then you'll return to our website to receive more than 50 gifts from our partners. So you'll definitely want to do that. And that book website is healthyabundantandwisebook.com. May 25th is the launch date, and we really look forward to serving you more through story. Thank you so much, everybody, and have a beautiful day.